Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories here for the week of March 16, 2021 here on News AF.
Story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth. It's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. We're back again for News AF. And now here with a man who says that he has incredible news to share with us, and not just News AF. It's Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm doing so great, and I do have some really great news to report. I mean, on top of all the pickleball stuff that's going on, and that's really fantastic. Yeah. I did talk to Rachel about doing a Real Housewives of News AF podcast. She was all about it, and she stands with Nicole and says that it will be more entertaining than what we are creating every week.
All right. The first lady of podcasting is not thrilled with me at the moment right now. So I'll wait until she is.
You don't want to air. You don't want her to air all the dirty laundry.
Well, let me just. I won't ask her about it right after we get done with the podcast today. I'll wait like a day or two for her to cool down. Yeah.
But you incredible. You already propositioned her on this, right?
Yeah, many times. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's good to go. She has been in the past positive about taking over for an hour and a half.
She was. So okay. She was very excited about it. So I'm not going to mention it again this morning, but she was in the past was very positive about it.
Yeah. You definitely have to time it. Danny, have you talked to Liz at all?
Danny Bryson.
No, but I feel like the time has come to to bring it up.
Yes. Yes. Danny, it was another week of us watching you do death-defying stunts on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Also, I was like, I don't know if that's the first time that run had ever been skied, if you were watching the one where I was going up that really steep thing.
Oh, that rock face?
Yeah.
The granite face that you showed.
Yeah. So I was like, if it is, I just want on the record, I want to name it either the Cesternino. Or the RHAP.
Yeah.
Why?
That's the run. I don't know, because I kind of went out there just to scare Rob, to be honest.
Just to be like, Rob's like, going to freak?
Yeah. Rob's going to freak when he sees this one.
So and did you freak a little bit,
Danny's
Rob?
Danny's mom. I'm like, Danny, what are you doing?
Do you comment on his stuff?
He doesn't let you. Danny, you can't comment on Danny.
I don't know how that's... Yeah, I don't really respond.
I commented on Danny's.
On his story. Not on his stories. You can't comment
on his
stories.
I sent a message. Yeah, you send a message.
Oh, maybe he followed. Maybe you're behind the velvet.
Close friends or something.
Oh my gosh, that's probably what it is. I haven't accepted or responded. I did respond to Tyson out of guilt from what Rob said before.
You did respond
to me. I liked your comment. I liked it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I did the little hold it down and click like a thumbs up type of thing.
So Danny did... It was a 1, 2, and 3. Thing and I said taking notes.
Yep.
Because I thought that was pretty funny. Like, I'm going to go out there and do something that stupid and that big of a waste of time. No.
Yeah.
Pickleball is so constructive. You're helping humanity move forward by playing it every day.
See, we agree.
Yeah. So, all right. Speaking of moving forward, we did change the clocks this week.
No, I didn't.
Oh, in Arizona, you didn't have to do it?
No, Arizona has always been anti.
So great.
Yeah, anti daylight savings.
Mm-hmm. Danny, could you just give us a peek behind the curtain as to what goes on in the clock room for daylight savings time?
The whole weekend.
Oh, my God, dude.
Turning dials, putting battery. Maybe it's like.
Is that true?
No, I don't think so. None of those clocks. Tyson, you remember, none of them were actually telling the correct time.
But they all are working. Which is the crazy part. It's like, if they're not going to be on the correct time, then why have them tick, 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 tick,
to drive you mad?
Yeah.
What if it's like an initiation process? Like, oh, you want to be friends with Danny, or do you want to marry my daughter? You have to spend a night in the clock room and you have to emerge.
Is that
sane.
What you had to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I slept in the clock room.
Could you just reset for any of our new listeners what the clock room is?
So when I was dating my wife, I went to her mother's house to spend a weekend, and I slept in the basement in this room. It probably had, what would you say, Tyson, at least 20 clocks.
I think
in it.
More.
Maybe 30, 20,
30. I'm envisioning like 50 or 60 clocks. So you don't think that many?
All of them working, all of them tick. I don't know how to describe it.
They all have
digital.
That soft tick. Like if you listen to a watch, not a digital watch, what's the other type? That's not digital.
Analog?
Analog.
An analog watch, and you listen closely, you hear the secondhand tick, and you hear all the secondhands tick on all of these clocks that are all analog, and they're not in unison, so it's just like a hum of ticks.
Yeah. And they're telling different times.
And they're all telling different times.
Being in a room with locusts, I would imagine.
And it's just driving you insane.
So I spent the night there, and it didn't in any way discourage me not to marry my wife. She hasn't brought any clocks into the house, so far so good. But then I went on a trip with Tyson to Yellowstone.
You're not a clock blocker,
Danny. I'm not a clock blocker. And Tyson stayed in the clock room before we went to Yellowstone and got a taste of time.
I was very actually happy to have that experience. And Danny didn't warn me about the clock room before. Like, I had never even heard of the clock room. And I get there and we show up and Danny's like, oh, how are you situated? I was like, there's like a bunch of clocks in here making noise, dude. He's like, yeah. And I was like, nobody prepared me for this. Like, Danny probably just
Hey, Tyson, there's a lot of clocks. That means nothing to you until you actually get into the room. Like, what does that mean, a lot of clocks?
Three. I would have thought three.
Yeah.
Not 60.
Tyson, did time move slower or faster in the clock room?
Oh, definitely slower, dude.
Time disappears. That's the thing. That's why
time
all the
doesn't
time
doesn't exist in the clock room.
The it more, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's why all more the clocks at different times.
The more clocks you have in there, the more like time just comes to a standstill.
Yeah. Wow.
And like all, and but it's like both directions because like I'd come out of the room and be like, Danny, I think it's time to go. And you're like, it's only been 3 minutes. I was like, no, it was like 6 hours. I swear it was 6 hours. So, yeah.
By the way, my mother-in-law is awesome. Okay. The clock room is not an indication of anything. She's totally awesome.
She's listening. No. Sure.
Yeah. You would think that somebody who kept a room like that in their house would be insane to some capacity, but his mother-in-law is quite the saint. And so it's like a surprising factor of the house. It's not like you go in there and everything is screaming clock room in the entire house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know how like just you get into a cat person's house and you're like, definitely a cat person here. That's not like this. You don't get all in this room and be like, oh, a clock lady. There's a clock lady somewhere in here.
Yep. I can hear the clocks. Yeah. A river of time it's flowing just, in a room down in the basement.
It's just one room. Yeah. You could never, by meeting her on the street, you would never know she was a clock lady.
By the way, going back to the original comment, have you ever read an article as daylight savings or whatever, as the date approaches, the one we just passed? I never come across articles arguing to keep it. I only come across more and more articles saying, why do we stick to this
stupid
tradition?
Do you think it's a silent
tradition?
Majority that's like, no. Keep it the way it is.
Like all the old timers out there.
The driving. Rockefellers or whoever's in charge of everything nowadays.
If you have a pocket watch, you're probably into preserving this. But there's no one writing articles like, this is a great thing. We really need to hold on to this for all time eternity. We need to make it, got to pass a law, lock it in, because nobody likes it. And yet it sticks around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well. It's true.
Yes, Tyson.
Somebody asked about why the clock room exists, and I think it's a collection of clocks. I think
it is.
I think she's a clock collector, and
correct.
Any fun clock she sees, she gets and puts in the clock room, and then turns it on and forgets about it.
Walks
never
away
to adjust.
She
time.
Doesn't ever sleep.
She's
in the
never
clock
been
room.
In there, other than to put a new clock in there.
All right. We haven't talked about the national days in a while. And so I took a look today to see what is March 16th. And I found
something
out
something special.
That, this is actually the greatest day of the year. And I didn't even realize it. It's National Everything You Do Is Right Day today.
Whoa.
March 16th, which.
So everybody gets to live a day in the life of me.
Yeah. I can't wait to tell Nicole about this, although I suspect she does not observe.
Mm. Is tomorrow National Regret
denier?
Your Decisions from the Previous Day Day?
Well, yesterday
you think that Nicole is a denier of Everything You Do Is Right Day?
Yeah. She definitely does not observe in Everything I Do Is Right Day. She perhaps observes everything that that she does is right day.
Yeah, that's okay, the
that
right
sense.
Spirit.
Yeah, that's how I celebrate it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing everything right. Everyone else is doing everything wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So National Everything You Do Is Right Day is today. So if you're listening to this in the podcast version later on today, make sure you get a couple hours in of National Everything You Do Is Right Day. There's not too much even backstory of why this is a thing.
It's just some doofus somewhere put it in there, and now it's
stuck. That's wild that it's still a day.
Hornacek in the comments was, they're still figuring out why daylight savings is a thing. And he said, I heard it was because of the farmers. To my knowledge, it is because of agriculture in the past, where the farmers were trying to wake up with the sun and get their work done and this and that and their schedules and everything. And that has always been my understanding as well.
By the way, going back to today's holiday, the national Everything You Do Is Right Day, there's a lot of people we would not want to adhere to this. Mm-hmm. You know, like airline pilots, people working with like nuclear security. All those people should probably abide by the guidelines given to them. I wouldn't mm-hmm. in any way encourage them to celebrate mm-hmm. today.
Yeah. I'm trying to see who's using the hashtag Everything You Do Is Right Day. Not a ton of people, but there is. It is. People are using it.
How many? How many results did you get?
A lot of companies. For whatever reason, like a lot of, like, I'm noticing, and I don't know, maybe it's like one social media manager manages a lot of these companies, but here's an Audi one. Here's a Toyota one. Acura. Dude,
they need
Boston.
To learn. They need to pay attention. Burger King has proven otherwise.
Yeah, a lot of like car service companies must have like one person that manages their social media, because they're all trying to tell you it's Everything You Do Is Right Day, and that you should get your car service.
Everything you do is right.
Come see our technicians, because they'll have a opinion on your car, and of course, Everything You Do Is Right Day. So.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you took opposite day really seriously? Mm-hmm. I felt like it was Thursday. Am I mistaken in that? It was like every Thursday was opposite day.
Yeah, I don't know.
And and you really used it to your advantage. You know, just really like you could use today.
Yeah. Do you want to do your homework? Yes. And then they're like, okay.
And you're like, parents didn't get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Wait, I want to keep touching on this daylight savings, because people are now going off in the comments. Some people are saying during World War II, they implemented it to save energy and money. But later down the road, they figured, or currently they realized, it does not save any money. Doc says there's a lot of reasons for daylight savings. None of them are any good.
Yes, that's it. Drop the microphone. That Boom. Comment basically sums it up.
Okay.
Yeah. But opposite day, I mean, you really did have a heyday there with your parents, because you would trick them into being them thinking you're being obedient while you are in fact rebelling.
All lies.
Being rebellious. Yeah. Tyson, since it's Everything You Do Is Right Day today, I'll give you how about a Tyson's choice for which story do you want to talk about?
Okay.
We have some... hefty fines for people who urinate in their airline seats. We have some talk about some new condiment combinations, or fish fraud. Which would you like to talk about?
Fish fraud.
Okay. All right. Fish fraud is news AF. Danny, did you know that fish fraud was a thing?
Now I'll be looking for it everywhere.
Yes. That the New York Daily News is calling it a real bait and switch. Sometimes the expensive fish that you are ordering is not what you are getting.
That makes sense. I could see that happening ever since fish was first consumed.
Who could tell the difference? Who could tell the difference?
Seriously.
Like, hey, this isn't halibut. It's tilapia. Yeah.
I've heard lots of stories, too, of guys like, they would go to the fish taco stand and they had shark tacos for cheap, and then they had halibut tacos for more expensive. And one day they asked what the difference in the meat was, and they said it's all shark.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one has all sorts of great research. 70% of supposed snapper sold throughout the UK was actually from 38 other species.
Mm-hmm.
And 36% of seafood from 30 countries was mislabeled, according to a new Guardian Seascape survey. This is no small thing if you're a fish lover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been lied to your whole life.
Yeah, this should be front page news. Seriously, this is kind of shocking.
So what kind of hamburgers do you think you're eating, Dan?
Oh, I don't even know what kind of slop I'm getting in my hamburgers. I was eating a McDonald's cheeseburger just the other day. I'm like, this is burned. The cheese is cold. I have no idea what I'm eating.
So delicious.
Right now.
But you know it's probably not meat. So you're...
No, I don't know what it is. It's like a pink goo that they've mixed in with probably some of this fish.
Yeah.
Some hamburger. and then they overcooked it and then threw some cold cheese on it. I wouldn't, but this is more surprising than finding out your McDonald's hamburger has no meat. This is like, come on, that's a ton. 70% mm-hmm. of Snapper was mislabeled.
Mm-hmm.
That's intentional. Very intentional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are certainly cheaper fishes that are out there in the sea, and you might be paying for a more expensive fish and instead be getting something that is cheaper. And I guess that only, Danny, a sophisticated mariner palate like yours would be able to tell the difference.
No. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between Snapper and Subway tuna.
I could.
It would be impossible for me.
Yes.
I could tell the difference between Snapper and Subway tuna.
Yes. Do you think that you could succeed in some sort of a fish blind taste test, Tyson?
With some fish, yes.
Hmm.
What fish? What fish are your special? Yeah.
I could definitely pick out a salmon.
Salmon is easy. That's the easiest one.
Fine.
Yeah.
And then, white fish only really comes in like two flavors of white fish. It's either dense or light and flaky.
Yeah.
And so dense is like a cod style fish and light and flaky is more like a halibut. So from there, but there's probably 100 fishes that meet both of those criteria. So that gets real tricky. I could do tuna. I could do a tuna steak definitely pick that out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this ties in nicely with our our Subway story, in that this is only promotes Subway's tuna, because with Subway tuna, you know exactly, well, you kind of know what you're getting, but you know you're getting what you asked for, which is a pink dust turned into a tuna substitute. You're out mm-hmm. there paying a ton of money for a fish, and you're getting some kind of gutter fish that they're scraping off the bottom of the ocean, but you're paying primo price for that.
I also heard a story about a restaurant close to Danny where they had gotten a ton of halibut in, and the halibut, when they went to cook it, had worms in it.
Oh,
and
no.
They just cooked it up anyways.
Delicious. Get some worm protein.
But apparently that's pretty normal.
Hmm.
That's so gross. Yeah.
That's why I always feel comforted when I see an employee sitting down next to me eating his own food, from the restaurant. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's a testament to maybe a testament.
Yeah,
to
should more restaurants have their employees like sitting at tables and eating?
Or hired people. Oh, that's a great idea, dude. This is my new marketing thing. Let's hit up restaurants and be like, I'm going to dress like an employee mm-hmm. and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to just eat and enjoy it or pretend to enjoy it. And it's $400 an hour.
Wow. That's like the new influencer.
Yeah.
Real influence too. Mm-hmm. For me, that's huge. That's if I saw Tyson in there dressed up in the Burger King uniform or the Taco Bell uniform eating Taco Bell, I'd be like, okay, that's good. It's like having that guy, if you're the king, who
we got to get back to the sloth terrarium right now, dude. Yeah. Are you kidding me? This idea might be our best one we've had in a year.
Yeah. So we're going to like seek out like different models from Instagram that like influencers who seem like that they're like a friendly disposition, symmetrical face. They're going to sit there in the restaurant
healthy.
And like, oh, look at that.
Go on, Danny. I chopped you, but I just wanted to say
no, you were fine. That I was just saying, it's like having your own taster.
Yeah.
You know, to keep you safe. That's all I was going to say.
So like, imagine me, Instagram story. I'm there at Burger King, and not only am I in the Burger King outfit saying, oh, I work here and this is a delicious burger, but I'm upselling them by adding stuff to the burger and being like, I get my Whopper with 6 patties.
There is a trend for at least sometimes on Reddit, sometimes on TikTok. You guys have probably noticed that employees working at a restaurant
will
expose
the
dirty secrets. Yeah. It's the dirty secrets, but no one on TikTok or Reddit ever exposed fake fish.
I mean, have you looked for that? Have you searched?
No, I'm just saying it hasn't popped up. I had never heard of fish fraud until this. You think with this being as rampant as it is, it would have picked up somewhere on Reddit or
nobody
TikTok
cares because everybody's already assumed that the fish they're eating is not the fish that they're told.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is kind of like me. Like, I'll go to a fish place, like, especially if you get like fish and chips, you're like, they could put any fish in that batter. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. It's mostly just breaded fish.
Yeah.
Super greasy breaded fish. It's all going to taste the same. That's the best thing about some fish. It's then they're like, we overcooked this and overseasoned it. It no longer tastes like fish. That's when you know you could be getting any kind of surprise sea meat.
Exactly. Luke in the comments says he was a grill cook at Cracker Barrel for 3 years and he's never eating their catfish.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
what else? He's never eating their haddock or trout ever. And, Luke, what if they paid you to sit out front eating their catfish, haddock, and trout platter?
Loudly proclaiming, this is the best catfish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well seasoned.
Yeah. And Tomas in the chat says, fish fraud is literally catfishing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So this is a cod masquerading as a catfish.
Yeah. And yeah. Logan says, do you think Burger King would hire women to be food influencers or do they just belong? Whoa.
that was from last week when Burger King had the ad.
Oh, yeah. They just belong in the kitchen. And my reaction was what the public reaction was.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Nobody read the fine print.
Now we see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody. Remember when Audrina from the Hills was doing all the Carl's Jr. commercials where like the sauce was gooing out of the burger everywhere?
That did not make me want to eat.
No. Me neither. But if they had her in a Carl's Jr. like employee uniform.
Yes.
And then
yes,
you're like, wow.
That would have been so much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, okay, I'll eat here.
Okay. So be on the lookout if you're buying some expensive fish you may not be getting. You need to have like some sort of like bring somebody with you who knows is a fish expert like Tyson.
How about we make an app and you dip your phone in, you poke your phone in the fish.
Yeah,
and
you plug it into the tuna.
Yeah.
You plug it into the port and then it can tell from there. You can make an app and you could actually catfish people with that because you plug it in, you're like, tell them what fish it's supposed to be, and then you goo it in there, and then companies pay you to report that it's accurate, and it's a whole scheme, dude.
Mm-hmm.
This is going down levels and levels.
Rob and I were thinking of an app that would help people. Tyce is thinking of an app that will screw people out of money.
Yeah.
So I think we know.
It's going to be a free app.
Mm-hmm.
Except for it's overloaded with ads and constantly wants to upgrade to like the 99-cent version.
Listen, I'm just trying to get mine, okay?
Okay, I understand.
All right, well, if you are on the lookout for fish fraud or at least looking to commit some fish fraud, there's a brand new aquatic invasive species in Florida that might be up your alley. That there is a report of a new invasive species swimming in Florida's waters and is being described as a 10-foot long river monster. Did you have a chance to look at this?
I see the picture. It looks like a real beast.
Can you tell me what kind of fish it is?
You know what? It's almost like some sort of a hybrid between fish and it almost is like the head of a fish. But almost like the tail
of an eel.
Yeah, the back end of an eel. Or
yeah, but is like there a name for this fish?
Yes.
It's called Arapaima.
Yeah, that's a tropical fish from South America.
Yes.
Yeah, those are all over in the aquariums and stuff. And they're like whenever you go to the freshwater display in the aquarium of the sea monsters, that's one of the ones they always have there. And they're big, they're long and skinny, and supposedly they are very powerful.
Yes.
Fish. They don't go after you with their mouths, but they will like flick you with their body
and
just
tail.
Like put all the weight into it. Yeah.
Yeah. That they have scales that are supposedly as impenetrable as armor.
Yeah.
Whoa.
How did that get there?
That is an ugly fish. It looks like the head of a snake, body of a snake, mm-hmm. tail of an eel.
Mm-hmm.
Someone probably is like, oh, this will make a great pet. Kids, put it in the goldfish. Mm-hmm. And then it outgrew the little tiny aquarium. It was like, chuck it in the river.
Somebody's like, oh, we could chop these up and sell them for haddock.
Yep, haddock at Cracker Barrel will buy them for a quarter the price of the haddock they're normally getting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if these can even be purchased by a regular person or if I don't know how that got there.
Mm-hmm. Someone brought it up to Florida.
Yeah.
From the
for
end.
Sure. but I think they're generally in the Amazon, and I think they're cool fish. Like, they're cool to see, and their scales are huge, but like, I don't want to invase anybody's, you know, Florida, I guess it's okay, because they're pretty much overrun with invasive species. So it's like, what's one more?
Herpes monkeys, pythons. Now they've got this.
Yeah. Iguanas, I think, also.
Yeah. So, yeah, the concern here is that this fish is going to be eating a lot of the commercially important fish. Although that sounds a little bougie to call some fish commercially important.
Yeah. To me, all fish are equal. Mm-hmm. And that's always been.
Yeah. Why would we have a hierarchy of commercially important fish?
Taste, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they all smell the same.
Yeah.
And obviously they all taste the same too.
This creates this environment for fish fraud when we say, oh, these fish are commercially important and these fish are not.
If we just made all fish at a standard rate based on weight alone, then all fish would be equally important and
they
fish
are.
Fraud would be evaporated completely.
They're all equal in my eyes. Equally disgusting.
Yeah.
Fish is gross.
All fish are equally disgusting?
All fish. I don't like eating fish.
One fish?
Not one fish.
Salmon.
Unless I'm not the kind of person who's like, I'll eat fish if it doesn't taste at all like fish.
Hmm.
So, no, not even salmon.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say we go to, like, a fish house. What are you getting? Their burger?
Yes. Do they have, I get calamari sometimes.
Okay.
I don't know why that's any better, but it's fried and battered. And
deep fried octopus or squid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Sure. If you come across one of these fish, there's an exotic species hotline that you can call. The number is 1-888.
How many?
I've got one.
How many panic calls are they getting? Like, I just saw one.
Oh, for these fishes?
It's in a river.
That's the phone number. 1-888.
Well, that's how.
I've got one. Or go to
Hawaii.
Go to ivegotone.org. Although there's an apostrophe in this URL, and that can't be right.
Yeah, that's got to be wrong. That's just going
to
send you.
Have they like opened it up where it's like you can kill these if you want to? Or no, they're not encouraging people to go out and spear them themselves or anything, are they?
No, they are not saying for you to spear them yourselves.
But they are saying do not release it alive back into the water if you catch one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Smother it with a pillow.
If you read between the lines, they're telling you what to do.
Okay. Hawaii on Kauai, supposedly. So Hawaii introduced mongoose, thinking it would get rid of the rodent problem, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, it just decimated the native bird species.
This is what I'm always talking about.
Yeah. So Kauai has signs because it's supposedly the only island that didn't introduce mongoose, but supposedly mongoose have gotten there. And so there's signs at all the trailheads that are like, if you see a mongoose or a mongoose was reported being seen in this area, please report and let us know if you see one. And so they don't ask you to do anything. They're just like, take your coordinates down if you can on your phone or whatever.
Yeah. I'm 49 minutes, 110 seconds latitude.
Coordinates. Okay, well, when you are having your fish, whatever species it is, maybe there's some new condiments that you might be able to get as long as you are having them in Canada, because Heinz has come up with some new flavor combinations.
Do I want to hear this, Rob? Do I even want to hear this?
Probably not. We got three.
Ooh, I'm liking that.
Three new ones.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Relish mixed with ketchup.
No, that is not one that they've come up with.
That's a pretty good one, though, because a lot of people eat
You're
relish
half
and
right.
ketchup.
It's something else with ketchup.
These look good.
Oh, Danny is in.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm, from the minds that brought you Cranch, we've got some new ones. Okay.
Okay, let's hear it.
Let's start with Tarchup. It's tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce.
And ketchup.
Tarchup.
Do people eat that on their fish burgers?
Yeah, you could put it on fish.
It's only, I think tartar sauce is only for fish, isn't it?
Tarchup's my least favorite of all three of these.
Yeah.
Let me just put that in order.
Yeah, but I've got ranch and cranch above tartar sauce. Tartar sauce would be the worst.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed.
Worst of all worlds on the condiments. Okay. We've got wasabi aioli. It's a wasabi. Like
mayonnaise wasabi.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And then finally, we have hanch. Can you guess what hanch is, Tyson?
Honey and mustard and ranch?
Good guess. Nope. Good guess.
This one's not bad, by the way. Oh. At least I don't think it's a bad
Danny's
comment.
Danny's in on all three of these condiments.
Yeah, Danny is.
Dude. If it'll cover up the taste of fish, I'm in.
Danny loves condiments, dude. Sometimes you like go to the thing and he's
creamier
like,
the
can
better.
Can I get the club sandwich without any of the sandwich or the meat? And like, so just the mayonnaise? And he's like, yeah, and a spoon.
Yeah, hanch is hot sauce and ranch.
Oh, okay. Still gross because it has ranch in it.
I don't like some of the names. Like tarchup sounds like a part of your body you don't need.
What
you
would know, be like, better?
Cut out your tarchup. Ketchtar sounds like a planet.
Yeah.
And like Alpha Centauri.
Why not just tartar ketchup?
No, I mean, come on. What's the point? This is 2021. You got to mix words.
Okay,
tarchup.
Fine.
Wasabioli? Is that how do you say that one?
Yeah.
Hanch. Dude, I had my hanch removed.
How many people do you think are sitting on this panel?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was on this panel.
Three. And they're just like, okay, we got to brainstorm. So we already came up with the sauces that are going to be mixed, but we need names that don't sound so disgusting. Dude, that
mayo chup was so good.
No, I think Cranch was the best name so far.
Cranch was good. There's something about Cranch, though, that sounds it's a little too strong.
Mm.
Like, can I have some Cranch? Yeah.
Cranch sounds like something bad that happens to you. Like, I used to play pickleball all the time, but then I came down with Cranch.
Yeah, I Cranch.
A case of the Cranch.
Yeah. Someone accidentally.
Sweet.
Someone accidentally Cranched me, and I haven't been the same since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I was just sitting there thinking about my mayo chup.
Yeah.
And I just had a big smile on my face.
They market these as being crowdsourced. So there must be maybe like people on Twitter are like sending these in.
Crowdsourced instead of crowdsourced.
Yeah.
These guys.
You know what annoys me about this, though?
Words.
We never see these. These don't end up at our dinner tables.
No.
They're always in some faraway exotic location.
Yeah. It's not like. Yeah, and it's also not like you don't go to Subway and they're like, okay, we got, do you want any sauces? We got Cranch and mayo chup and it's
wasabioli.
None of it.
Wasabioli?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd be like, yes, please.
Yeah. Hey, you want that tarchup on the Subway tuna.
But look at the picture on the wasabioli. That is like the weirdest picture I've ever seen.
Can you describe it?
It has there's a beautiful, well-made sandwich with a square piece of white bread. It's got lettuce. It's got cheese, just like you would imagine. And they've put the wasabioli, a giant dollop of it,
right on top of the sandwich. Yeah.
Now you can't manhandle the sandwich. You're not going to touch that. You're not going to go finger first into the wasabioli.
Yeah.
You're manhandling that?
Yeah, you're not looking at it, Tyson.
No,
that is kind of an abomination.
I refuse to look at it. And also, yeah, I'm not looking at that.
Because you would think, like, if you had, like, a piece of sushi, to go back to our fish fraud story, like, yeah, maybe you would have, like, a dollop of wasabi on top of the sushi.
Sure.
But that is not how you would use wasabioli.
No. That's how a psycho would eat the sandwich.
So,
like, dude, I just, like, get my hands in the sauce.
You flip the bread upside down and then... They were just showing you for a fact.
Terrible picture.
So listen, what about,
yes.
You know how the lots of companies have done like submit your flavor combos and we'll pay you money. Is Heinz going down this, road where now they're like, okay, submit your flavor. You win $50,000 and people are like, cat poop and mint toothpaste.
Yeah, I feel like this is like a real throwback to the early days of this podcast when Tyson would come up with new chip flavors to try
to win. And remember Lay's made a commercial for me?
Yes.
Do you not remember that?
They made a commercial for you?
Lay's potato chips had a commercial that said our friend Tyson from Utah came up with tempura bacon jalapeno chips.
Yes.
And pretty cool. And it had like a backdrop of the town I was living in at the time. And it was two potatoes, two potato puppets talking to each other.
This. Yes.
Dude, I can't find that anywhere. I was talking to someone about it recently. And I was like, this was my second closest moment to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
This is created by Dr. Hines. He's locked up in a clock room. He's got a chart brewed on his wall, yarn string drawn from one flavor to another, jars of urine against the windowsill. I mean, this is a madman who spends all day trying to mix and match combinations of flavors. And then every now and then, like, there'll be a ding and a piece of paper will slide out. And someone at the, at the Heinz company will take the paper and be like, he's done it again. Wasabioli, make it right now, only for Canada.
Just to go back to the art on these condiments, if you take a look at the Hanch also, the hot sauce ranch, that it's on wings. Why, if I have spicy wings and then I'm dipping them in ranch, why do I want hot ranch to dip my hot wings in?
That is a good point.
Doesn't make
sense.
Well, some people do that. Whenever you go to like a wings place, they're always like, okay, so what saute sauce do you want them to be drenched in? And you're like, oh, buffalo. And they're like, okay. And then do you want a side of buffalo dipping, or do you want a side of ranch, or do you want a side of this? And you're like, why do you sauce on sauce? Is that like, are you supposed to do that?
Yeah.
My church forbids sauce on sauce.
Yeah, your church will not until after marriage. After marriage, you can do sauce on sauce.
You know, a staple of this show used to be talking about the bad airline passengers of the week.
Oh, thank God that's all behind us.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that too much in the past year for reasons. The FAA is cracking down on a major problem on airlines: people who are urinating in their seat.
They're not cracking down. This guy, I read this whole article. He didn't even know he's like, I don't remember peeing. First of all, you can get rid of at least 90% of airline problems by denying flyers alcohol. Right then and there, you've already cut out so much of the problems plaguing the airlines. This guy was drunk. He stood up. I can't remember what he was. He also kind of violent, yelling at people, something about a mask. Oh, they woke him up because he wasn't wearing a mask. And I think that, you know, the stewardesses and stewards can be pretty aggressive when they're talking to you about masks. He got up, he started to go on a rant, started to pee himself, says he didn't even remember. So I don't know how often this takes place, but I think this is a one-off, hopefully, airline peeing.
They were going to fine him, or they did fine him?
Look at that fine.
Yeah, so they've made it be allowable to have up to a $250,000 fine for this kind of infraction.
But the FAA did?
Yes.
Okay, so it is some type of authority up there. The airlines have to make their money back somehow, and
baggage fees, upgrades on seats, that's not getting them the billions they really want or deserve.
My fingers are crossed, and I've said this before on the podcast, that they all merge into one airline and then go completely bankrupt and nobody utilizes them anymore.
I mean, they make this sound like this is a problem. Like, whoa, we have too many people just peeing in their seats. We really need to put a clamp down on this. Let's institute a fine. I mean, is it really that big of a problem?
I think it's a fine line, though. Like, if you are somebody who has an accident on a plane, like, do they prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law? Or it's
I doubt it.
Yeah, I feel like.
And also, can't you just hide that you peed there and then...
Depends how much.
Yeah, well, I think that this
Be like, excuse me, like 3 hours into the flight. Excuse me, I think whoever was on this flight before in this seat peed all over my pants.
So your pants are soaking wet.
My pants are soaking wet because they peed in this seat and I'm sitting here in this puddle of urine and I've been here a few hours and just barely realized it.
Yeah.
See, flyers are animals. We just need to make the whole plane hose outable.
You just do like, it like a cattle truck.
Like, it's like, okay, we landed. Then a guy comes in the back with like a fireman's hose and he starts spraying everything down.
It's grating. It's all grated so that you can pee or poop and it falls through the grate down into the lower levels. And then it vaporizes it and pushes it out into the atmosphere.
Yeah. And Danny, I get the sense that this man did not wet his pants. I think that he was using...
Flopped his dong.
Yeah, I think he was...
Let's read his, said he did a couple of shots before the flight and then fell asleep on the plane and awoke to being yelled at by the flight attendants who told him he was peeing.
again, I don't like, are the flight, how would the flight attendants know this man was sitting in his seat peeing his pants?
I push the attendant button. The man next to me is urinating, ma'am. And then she's, sir, sir.
I don't know. He was in like a drunken stupor and like stood up and thought his chair was the bathroom.
So you're saying,
you hear these
Danny,
stories
that,
in like college dorms, like, oh, I woke up and then my roommate was like, thought that the bed was a urinal.
Gross.
Gross. Yeah, I don't know what to do here. Danny,
I know what to do. Stop serving alcohol.
Yeah, but some people need that to even get on the plane in the first place.
Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be flying if they need that to get on the airplane. Look, it just leads to
medicinal marijuana.
Sure. Just okay. Anything that bypasses the need to urinate or fight.
Yeah.
I think weed would be better because, I mean, you don't hear about guys getting high and then fighting each other or peeing in the aisle. I mean,
I bet there's guys peeing themselves when they're high.
Well, I don't know of it being a side effect, but what I'm saying is it would be better than alcohol because alcohol is responsible for almost every disturbance on every flight that's ever happened.
Yeah, I think probably alcohol is creating a lot more disruptions on the flight.
So you think move towards prohibition again, you think?
Or on maybe, airplanes?
Maybe you could just be like, you could do a survey before the flight. Like as you buy your tickets, it's like, do you consider yourself an adult or a child? Check one. Because anybody who's like getting so drunk before the flight to get on is like, I'm 64, but I'm still a kid. So they check child and then they get rejected. They get on they're like, oh, sorry, we overbooked this flight, but you can fly a different airline if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a fight. Now there's you got a fight on your hands.
Oh, that's more true.
You haven't stopped the problem, Tyson. You've created a situation where fighting is now and possible urination too.
Okay.
What better way to celebrate your drunken fight than with a little urination afterwards?
Well, Docs in the chat says alcohol is the cause and solution to all of life's problems. So now we are in quite the conundrum where, what do you say to that, Daddy?
Just reduce the oxygen available in the...
They already do that. You think even more?
I know. They, what is it? At 8,000 feet, that's not enough. They need to move it up to like the amount of oxygen available at 12,000 feet.
What do you mean they reduce the oxygen on a plane? They make it so you have less oxygen, so you get tired.
Yeah, so you get
part
sleepy.
Of the reason part of the reason you feel crappy, newer planes are better, but it used to be something like the amount of oxygen in the cockpit, in the plane itself was somewhere around the same amount you'd get at like 8,000 or 10,000 feet.
What about the flight attendants? They're just used to it?
Same.
They deal with it.
So like for all of my high altitude training, I used to just take flights everywhere.
That would help me.
They have.
That's what I'm saying.
They have reduced it. They've brought it down in newer planes, but that's how it used to be.
No, Danny, Rob wants less oxygen.
Oh, well, that's what I suggest.
To hit that euphoric state.
They get headaches. They fall asleep. Mm-hmm. It's real. That's why you feel. Oh, that's part of the reason you feel so crappy. So I guess that could lead to more fighting.
Why do your feet swell from all the pork?
Dude, my feet swell for lots of reasons. I mean, I'm sitting here podcasting, and I'll probably take off my socks and see all those pressure lines. I'm probably going to die any minute now. Think about it.
Why don't you wear compression socks when you podcast?
I do have compression socks.
Is it just from sitting, Danny?
Yeah, I feel like sitting. Every time I fly an airplane and I peel my socks off after the flight.
Yeah.
I am disgusted by the look of my feet. And it's like, oh, I try to stay hydrated, right? Because that's what they tell you.
Yeah.
But it's just like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Big old hobbit feet.
Yes.
I don't know. Seriously. I don't know what it is. Okay. All right. So we've talked a lot about different ways that couples try to patch up their differences at times.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unfamiliar terrain for many of us on the panel. So a couple in Ukraine that they tried a new method to try to mediate some of their differences, and they've decided to handcuff themselves to each other.
I already see a really big problem.
Yeah, this is
at
bad.
The
yeah, they
he's not wearing a shirt. He chose to handcuff before getting dressed, and now he's got to go the rest of the Ukrainian winter without a shirt.
Well, can't you just get like a tearaway shirt?
And they did it on Instagram, which makes me suspicious.
Yeah.
No.
Is this real?
Liars. No. It's not real. And also, it's not a good idea. I think the best, whatever the opposite of handcuffing yourself to your spouse is, that's
maybe the video.
Guys. Or handcuffing yourself to your best friends and going out for a couple weeks.
What if this Danny were handcuffed? How long would that last?
We could probably do a day or two.
I could do a day. Okay, look, they have him dressed with a coat. Obviously, the handcuff came off.
Wait, Danny, are you going to be able to pee in front of me if we're handcuffed, if I turn around and look the other way? And what about pooping?
Ooh, I don't know. Not pooping. But I could hold my poo for 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to have to try and go poop right before we get handcuffed because I know Danny's not going to want to sit there while I'm pooping.
By the way, these people did not. This is obviously this is an fake, Instagram.
Yeah,
stupid
yeah, for
thing.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, this has been reported in outlets around the world.
Yeah, but outlets are just thirsty for whatever things they can get their Slow hands on. They don't do any fact checking anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like you could call. Rob, you could call right now. You could probably call CNN and be like, hey, I got a hot take for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, listen to the quote from this couple.
Yes.
We used to break up once or twice a week when during another fight, Vika once again said that we had to break up. I replied, then I will attach you to myself. This is a great story. They break up once or twice a week. They should separate. They are not meant for each other. In this situation, handcuffing yourself to a person you break up with twice a week, that's not going to solve anything.
So to answer some of the hygiene questions, one waits outside the bathroom with like a hand inside the bathroom. So they basically like sort of like, I guess it must be a small enough bathroom where they can, like, the toilet is that close to the door.
Yeah,
Ukrainian bathroom. Turns showering, supposedly.
Why wouldn't you just shower together?
I don't know. Maybe they're not, just not about that.
I mean, that seems like that would be better for the relationship than handcuffing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They are quoted as saying, fights between us did not disappear. We still fight. Oh, you don't say having a chain, being manacled to another person?
Yeah.
Dude, this is stupid. I wish nothing sleep? But
it doesn't
the
seem
worst
real.
Luck.
It seems like that they like put the handcuffs on for pictures and Instagram, and then the rest of the day are doing their own thing.
But it worked. Look at this. It worked. Here they are.
It worked. That they're
all around the globe.
Couple.
Yeah, they're everywhere, dude.
They're making money on Instagram.
A million followers. Mm-hmm. Another million on TikTok.
Meanwhile, I'm over here. Tweeting out gold.
So hard.
I'm tweeting out gold. I got an offer on my first tweet. You got an offer on yours too, Rob.
Yeah. But we don't get any of that money. People want to buy our tweets.
Yeah, we do.
We get the money.
Yeah, we get the money.
Called what? NFTs? NFTs?
Yes. Yeah. NFTs. Yeah.
How do we get the
NFTs.
Money?
NFTs.
You have to accept it, and then you have to set up an account that can take the payment from whatever website they're paying through.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So, pretty cool.
Look, if people want custom tweets, like I'll do those like Cameo. You just let me know.
No, that's not it. The value is in your original tweet. They want to.
They want
be able
the first
claim.
Tweet.
A custom
ownership.
One for you, Danny.
So
but
we
that,
got.
That's not special.
We got offers on our first tweet, but now that you're saying that, Danny, I don't think the offer was large enough.
Well, I mean,
it was $10,
that's going to be
right?
determined by the market.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Might hold out,
and I'll. Okay, hold out for your millions. What did Jack get for his first tweet? He got a lot, like $600,000 or
Who?
Something. Jack, Twitter guy, Dorsey.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I think he sold his first tweet.
I didn't think anybody knew his last name.
Let me show you.
How much did he make? He made a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you're going to show us, Tyson.
I'm going to read to you our first tweets, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So...
Oh, $2.5 million for Jack Dorsey's first tweet.
Yeah, that's good if you can get it. I don't want anybody's tweets.
My first tweet. Are you ready?
Ready. Let me hear this gold.
By not murdering anyone within the last 24 hours, I feel like I have accomplished my good deed for the day and made the world a better place.
Where's Elon Musk is bit high.
What?
Bit.
Where's the line?
Elon Musk, $1.1 million for Elon's first tweet.
What was his first tweet?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the other one. Here's Rob's first tweet. Rob, do you already know your first tweet?
I think so. What do you got?
Today marks 5 years that I've been in Los Angeles. No drug problem, not working in porn, and avoided the gangs. I'm up, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
Both golden tweets, I think.
Mm-hmm. Came in hot.
Came in hot.
Jack's first tweet is, just setting up my Twitter, TWTTR. That's his first tweet. The first ever tweet.
He spelled it wrong?
I don't know. Maybe that was intentional.
Mm. It was.
Could be in a typo. Okay.
Anyway, $2.1 million, $2.5 million typo.
Mm-hmm.
He needs that money, too.
Why? Is he? Twitter's losing money?
No. Just kidding. Okay.
How do we start like something new that's not Twitter or Instagram but makes more money than both of them combined?
Hmm.
Oh, if only there was a simple, easy way to come up with the next big idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of the next big idea, Danny, are you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
Yes, join me.
All right, here we go.
Take my hand.
Going to Danny's bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
This is a story. We used to talk about this a lot.
We did.
We were on the edge of this this story. We were, and you'll remember when I mentioned
it. Hoverboards?
Hoverboards. It's old news. This is about the social credit score.
Oh,
remember like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
3 years ago.
And they made a Black Mirror episode about it.
Yeah, but we were kind of there at the very beginning. Yeah. So it's kind of like interesting.
Nobody talks about
that
anymore.
Well, they should. It's turning
nobody
into the nightmare.
Any Black Mirror anymore.
Well, because there's other shows that have taken its place.
Yeah.
But the social credit score is taking hold. Every now and then I come across an article. Like I saw something the other day that your social credit score will allow you to board the train first in some places in China. And so the social credit score is slowly picking up. They have something like that. I think they're trying in this article. They talk about 200 million cameras, maybe 300 million surveillance cameras all over China, watching everything you do. I mean, it didn't stop me from getting pickpocketed when I was there, but still. You're always being watched. And
but
now they're monitoring. Yeah. Now they're monitoring your emotions as well.
Monitoring your emotions.
So, yeah. Their plan is to use this not only to keep your credit score, which is great if the credit score is based on your own beliefs. Like, I'd love to have a credit score that everybody has to adhere to as long as it's based on my idea of what a good credit score is. You know, like peeing in the airplane. Bad dude. We already talked about that was the whole Greyhound idea.
What you're not going to like is that there's going to be a lot of like niceties that have to happen. Of you have to like be pleasant to every single person you talk to, and then see that's going to
taking phone calls, responding to text messages. Yeah. I'd probably be, according to China, at the bottom.
Yeah, if you didn't respond to every single text message, you're going to get things.
Instagram message, YouTube message.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what, Rob? I just realized that. This is not what I want.
I used to think I wanted it too, Danny. And I'm also like, I'm not going to, like, if we're really going to grade this out.
Right. And it so much depends on who it created the list of things that are good and bad. That's really what it's all based on.
Mm-hmm.
But now their next step after installing all of those millions and millions of cameras is now to monitor your emotions. And I don't know exactly to what end. You know, you'd like to think that they're monitoring emotions so that if they see you downcast or a little sad, they could send in someone to perk you up. Like a clown to do some like balloon animals or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, what are they monitoring your emotions for? Like what? I tried to picture like what you're upset.
Yeah.
They're going to like, you're angry. I mean, as long as you're not venting to people in public without, you know, them inviting you
You have to bottle it up.
If like, I'm going to like hear less like, stories about like other, like I don't want to get bogged down with everybody else's stuff. Like, so if, I mean, we're going to cut back on the bogging.
Well, yeah. And I wouldn't mind. I thought, oh, this technology, the emotional thing would be nice in my house. You know, it's cause I can't always, I think an AI could probably read my wife better than myself.
Mm.
It'd be like, hey, your wife's a little bummed out. Don't be such a jerk today. That could be very helpful. I mean, I don't feel like the technology is going to be used that way, but I felt like there might be a place for an AI that monitors emotions, especially for those of us who are emotionally blind, you know, when it comes to other people. Mm-hmm. Seems like a great technology. I mean, what husband wouldn't want this in their phone to monitor their teenagers? Maybe that's too invasive, or at least their wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't know. I can't read it. I'm going to throw out sarcastic comments that she's not ready for.
Yeah, Danny. So could you just give us the application of the, so that this AI social credit score is going to monitor your emotions and then be docking you also for, like, if you're angry, you can't get on trains?
Yes, I think so. I think that that's kind of, it's going to be tied in. Originally, their vision was just tons of cameras. When we very first started joking about this, before it was reality, mm-hmm. it was just like a couple cameras pointed mm-hmm. at people, but also they're monitoring your social interactions on the internet and what have you, and giving you an overall score. Mm-hmm. Now
can also measure your vitals and see if you have elevated blood pressure and heart rate, et cetera. There's a lot of that stuff.
Heat cameras, right? That's how I picture it. Kind of like Predator's vision.
Yeah.
So you'll be free from them if you cover yourself in mud. Like, but it's happening. And we were there on the early days of this. And at the time, it was all laughs and giggles.
We should have created it.
But now you're like, if you're living in China, it's becoming the nightmare you always thought it would be.
At first, I did think this was a good idea. But then I just think back to that Black Mirror episode and that woman had to be like super fake nice to everybody. And you know.
That's why everyone in charge of, progressing technology should be required to watch Black Mirror, because I feel like they have a lot of good concepts, like the robot dog. There was a woman in Florida, of course, walking her robot dog with a leash on the beach. Did you guys see that video?
No. And what happened?
No, that's just it. That's just
a Boston Dynamics robot dog.
Boston Dynamics Spot. She had named it something else, like Mr. Fluffy, but she was just walking it, and it was, in a weird way, unsettling. I mean, again, I'm a proponent of robot dogs. I wish I had one.
Do robot dogs need exercise like that? Do you need to take them out for a walk?
Yeah.
Okay. To show off.
What made it people also need attention, Tyson.
Yeah, to show off.
But that's what made it so weird, right? Walking a robot dog is very strange.
Well, also on the beach, in the sand.
It was kind of like off to the side. I feel like all of Florida is a beach. I know that's not correct, but it looked like they were on the beach.
They definitely have a lot of coastline, yeah. But it seems like a robot designed to get sand in it? The robot dog, maybe?
It'd be the worst thing for a robot to get inside of it. Actually, if you wanted to defeat robot dogs, move to the beach and just have something that blows sand right into all their joints.
Yeah. Just Danny, just to add on to what you're talking about, that I see that a big story today is that Google Nest, which you can use to control the climate in your home, can also start to monitor your sleep habits.
Oh, I believe that.
And monitor your sleeping and breathing.
And then turn it into the Chinese government to help with your score.
Yeah, well, maybe there's some, heavy breathing that's going on that I don't want my Google Nest to be monitoring.
Yeah. And Alexa, what was the thing about Alexa being able to listen to your heartbeat?
Yeah.
Or something like that to monitor for. See, we have stuff monitoring us all the time. We actually, in this case, we invite it into our home, right? But if you're monitoring me to sell me products, that to me is less nefarious than monitoring me to decide whether or not I can leave town, right? Both are in some ways unwanted intrusions, but one seems more nefarious than the other right now. I mean, eventually, the spot dog, just like Black Mirror. That's why everybody should watch those, a couple of Black Mirror episodes so that they can have a taste of how the future should not go down in terms of technology.
Okay.
So there you go. It's happening.
So what should we do, Danny?
Not go to China.
But if the government has great success with it there, it will be implemented other places.
Maybe. I think it's gonna have a hard time getting its roots in other countries. But yeah, this is definitely a place you don't want to go. I wonder if Tyson and I have a score for being there. Like, what if they already started the paperwork on us?
I think they probably started more recently.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
When were we there, Danny? Probably like
2011, 2012.
2011, 2012. That's right. Okay.
I mean, you do have a score.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's like Hot or Not, just in a really bad way.
There were at times people following us for a really long time that seemed kind of official.
Hmm.
What do you mean?
Did you not feel that? When we were in China, we went to Beijing. Yes. And when we went to the, what's it called? The palace?
We went to the Forbidden
City. There was a group of gentlemen that seemed to be keeping their eyes on us.
Sounds
where the
enticing.
Emperor lived.
The palace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right next to Tiananmen Square, which was another place I felt like people were following us.
Yes.
They were probably taking notes.
Yeah. At the time, they had to do all of the scores manually. Mm-hmm. So they'd have guys call in and be like, he's like acting appropriately.
And then they had like the automatic pin setter. Like, but there was a guy.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's seven.
Well, it had to be you.
Yeah.
Before you were big brothering each other at bowling. And yeah.
I do feel like if the credit score comes on ball, in America, News AF requires a high credit score.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'd like to think. I don't know. I'd like to think that we'd be worthy of a high credit score. Although,
you think we'd probably, get a high... We're reporting on this stuff.
No, to listen to it, you have to have a high credit score.
Yeah. The podcast doesn't download if you don't have a good enough social
That's true.
Score.
Greyhounders not allowed.
Yeah.
The people who need it most.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's the problem with this is that anybody who needs to listen to this podcast to educate themselves on how to be a better human isn't doing so. And all the people that are listening are already probably great humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or hate this podcast. Yeah.
And they're listening to it out of hate.
But if they hate the podcast.
The people that need it hate the podcast.
But if they hate it, their face is being monitored while they're listening to it and their credit score goes down when their anger shows up in their face while listening to the podcast.
While their blood pressure spikes.
Begins to boil and the heat map shows all sorts of weird things.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Danny, what's coming up this week? Any more death-defying adventures that I have to be very scared for your life?
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll be going out on a big adventure coming up so I can put it up on the mediocre YouTube channel. Mediocre
Where are you going to go?
It hasn't been decided yet. Usually these things are not decided till like the night before, but it'll be a mountain and it'll probably be covered in snow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it'll probably be scary. So, Rob, don't cover your eyes.
What are some of the places on the docket?
Oh, I want to ski Mount Rainier, the Edmonds route. I need to ski Glacier Peak, and then I will have skied almost all the volcanoes out there in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so those are on there. And then a couple other ski things around here until the snow melts, and then I can go on long runs that make me puke. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, both of those sound great. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. And Rob, do you think we should get a Danny soundboard going before he, goes on one adventure too many?
Yeah.
Okay. Or
be a problem.
Or I can start reaching out to other potential podcasters to fill in.
Wait, do you have a Danny understudy ready to go?
I don't have a Danny understudy,
but I think we could find somebody that would not fully replace Danny because nobody quite has his hot takes on holidays. But I mean,
Tyson, are you in danger playing pickleball? Like if you took a hard hit pickleball into the temple,
no,
would you be out?
No, I don't think anybody's ever died from pickleball unless it was from also old age.
Mm-hmm. What if it hit you like right in the sternum?
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. No, I've never even touched. What's the ball like? Is it soft?
It's a wiffle ball. It's like a wiffle ball.
Oh, yeah. You could probably take it directly in the eye.
Yeah, and be fine.
Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, brush it off.
The only place that I've ever even shown a mark from somebody hitting it as hard as they can into me is my inner thigh. And that's only because I prefer to wear short shorts.
Yeah. And you were bummed for the whole time it was there because that's your favorite part of your body to show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's one of, you know, thigh meat is awesome. You knew that already though, right, Rob?
Yeah. You know, don't fish fraud me on that.
WB in the chat says, I've skied almost all the volcanoes in the Pacific Northwest. Is such a flex.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be. It's just something I randomly started.
That's what
I feel compelled to end.
Yes, you have to. Rob, what do you have going on this week?
Oh, I'll just be podcasting away. Be back talking about the 30th best season of Survivor, and it's Survivor Karamoan. You dodged a bullet, Tyson. You were almost
still
on
not
one.
Me.
And then you would have been.
I was. Oh, yeah. I went to casting for that. But if I were on that one,
it would have only helped it.
If I were on that one, it would have propelled it further up. So, well, cool.
Any new shows, Rob?
Any new shows?
Yeah, like, do you ever...
Did you watch The Bridge?
We had podcast coverage of it, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, it's decent.
Yeah. I've been watching Big Brother Canada, Danny.
Yeah.
Canadian Big Brother.
Dude, hopefully they get some of this fancy Heinz stuff. I'd love to see that pop up in Big Brother
Well, they get
Canada.
Wendy's every week.
So, what?
Yeah, they have a lot of product placement on Canadian Big Brother.
Wow. Danny.
Yeah.
The bridge is 20 people in a cabin in the UK, or 10 people or whatever, and they have an island in the middle of this lake.
Okay.
And they said there's $100,000 on the island in a briefcase, and you have to get it. You have to work together to retrieve it, but you can't swim and you can't go by watercraft. You have to walk to the island. So eventually they discover they need to build a bridge on the water. Mm-hmm. That's like 800 meters long to, and they have like 20 days to do it or something. So they're figuring out, so they have to build a bridge along the water to this little island. And throughout that time,
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then there's one point where they give people secret opportunities to take some of the cash out of the prize pool by sabotaging the group as a whole without them knowing. Like one guy leaves like a few days early for 10 grand, but in order to get the 10 grand, he has to chop 200 feet of bridge off of what they've already created.
Whoa, dude, that your social score is in the toilet. Mm-hmm. You're willing to do that. Did he take the deal?
Well,
yes.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You'll have to watch to find out.
Yeah. Dude, that is not cool.
Yeah.
It's on HBO. You should watch it.
Jordan Kalish did a podcast with Karishma from Survivor and one of the contestants in the reality TV wrap-ups feed.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I thought it was fun, and I think they could definitely repeat, and it would be even more entertaining as the gameplay is elevated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. And Tyson, what about you? What do you have coming up?
My brother's in town with his kids, and so we're going to be doing some adventures, probably some little kid adventures, and then always pickleball. I have a partner announcement tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. And then, let's see, in 1 month, I'll be in Houston at a pickleball camp. So if you want to come play pickleball and know how to play a little bit of pickleball, but not that much, this is like the perfect camp. It's like a novice skill level camp. So if you know a little bit, but don't know that much, it's perfect. And then just still staying on Rachel about doing the Real Housewives of News AF.
Yeah, we want to try to target the first week of April or last week of
okay.
2 weeks.
Okay.
We'll see if we can make
we
it
should.
Work. All right. Thank you everybody for watching. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.